When we assume that a legal loophole would be considered to be permissible, and when would we assume that it's not? We mentioned my father's opinion about when he assumes that we would be able to use those, when we would not. But obviously, the practice, which is a widespread practice all over the world, is that we sell our chametz, and the Shulchan Aruch says that this is the practice. And even though the Tosefta tells us that generally the original case of Mechiras Chametz was in an emergency, someone was on a boat, he didn't have any food, he didn't know what to do, but still we have extended it, and we assume that nowadays most people sell much of their chametz. There are those who are machmer not to sell chametz gomer. If you have that chumrah, wonderful. If not, you don't have to take it upon yourself. My father always tells us that Reb Soloveitchik always used to say in the shir that you should be machmer not to sell chametz gomer, only taruvus chametz, only something that's a secondary category of chametz, but something which is outright chametz one should not sell. My father very strongly disagrees with Reb Soloveitchik's argument. He feels it's not warranted at all. Based on the chiddush that we said last week, it would fit in that doesn't make a difference if it's chametz gomer or not, you would be allowed to sell it. So in my house, my father's such a humble person. When I was growing up, my father always told us in the house that we don't sell chametz gomer. He didn't explain that he disagreed with Rav Soloveitchik, but he said that he felt that he's a Talmud of the Rav, so he should be machmir and he should follow his Rebbe's opinion. So my sister got married, and she married somebody who was a devout Talmud of my father for many years, and he went to my father's Pesach Shir every year before Yantiv. And every year my father would say, Rav Soloveitchik felt this, and I disagree, and he explained the whole lamdas why he disagreed. And basically, the first year they got married, my sister starts throwing out all the crackers and everything in the house, and my brother-in-law says, what are you doing? She says, we don't sell chametz gomer. He says, of course you sell chametz gomer. She says, what do you mean, my parents never sell? He said, your parents sure do sell every year in the shir. Rav Shechter's the one who tells them we're allowed to. So that's what happened. My father said his children don't have to hold by the chumrah because they were not students of Rav Soloveitchik, and he feels that it's not correct. He himself, out of respect to his own Rebbe, he followed Reb Soloveitchik's opinion, even though he personally did not agree with it. So now, let's move right into the next part of our discussion, and that is, what exactly is the technique? What is the mechanisms of selling the chametz? As we mentioned last week, one of the reasons why the evolution became that not only does each individual sell their own chametz, but now the rabbi sells it on behalf of everybody. Why do we do it that way? One of the reasons why is because the Achronim say it's such an intricate process to sell the chametz. We never know, someone might be doing it wrong. Really? What's so intricate, what's so difficult about selling your chametz to a non-Jew? It should be easy. Make some sort of transaction and you're finished. Answer is, as we'll see tonight, it's very difficult. There are many, many kinyanim that are necessary. We end up doing 6 different kinyanim with a non-Jew. And it's a very complicated story as to why that's the case. So let's go through and try to simplify the whole story. When we go to the rabbi, whichever rabbi we choose to go to sell our chametz for us, the general practice is that we write a shtar harsha'ah, which means we give over the power of attorney, that now the rabbi can serve as the one who owns our property, our chametz, and he's the one who now has the right to sell the chametz on our behalf. So there's a shiloh that happens every year. What happens with the rabbi who left half of the shtari harsha'ah on his desk and he's so tzeflugin and sloppy on Erev Pesach and he forgets to bring all them to the non-Jew? What do you do in a case like that when it turns out that after Pesach, everyone's chametz in their homes is chametz she'aver lava Pesach because in fact it was not sold? So this is a shiloh that happens all the time. And that is a very important question, which hopefully we won't have to deal with halacha l'maisa, so we'll leave it for now. We have a lot more to talk about that is relevant. Generally, the minhag is when you give over the power of attorney to the rabbi, you do that with a kinyan siddur. You make some sort of kinyan with the rabbi. We'll talk more about a kinyan siddur later, but the question is, why is that the case? So the Rambam says in the end of Hilchas Mechira, the end of Perek Hay of Hilchas Mechira, the Rambam says that very often we'll do a kinyan siddur when we're doing some sort of transaction. The Rambam says the only reason to do that is to show that this is a very serious thing that we're doing. So the same goes with the rabbi. You don't really have to do a kinyan siddur. The Rambam tells us that really the kinyan siddur in this kind of case doesn't do anything. You give over the power of attorney, you sign a document, that's good enough. What's the reason for a kinyan siddur when you're giving it over to the rabbi? The answer is there is no reason. But because we want it to be serious and we want people to realize that there's something really going on here, so we do a back and a forth, we give a kinyan siddur, and we make it as if that this is a very serious kind of kinyan. That's why the minhag has developed to do that. Rav Soloveitchik said this is very relevant because very often, this happens every year, that you have someone who Erev Pesach calls the rabbi, I forgot to come sell the chametz, I'm in Eretz Yisrael, I'm here, I'm there, and they cannot come to the office to do it in person. So what do? If you're going to be makbid and say everybody has to give over the power of attorney to the rabbi with a kinyan siddur, what are you going to do about the person who can't come to the office and can't do it in person? What do you do about somebody who wakes up on Erev Pesach that they forgot to sell the chametz? So the answer is, Soloveitchik said, that obviously me'ikar adin, we don't really need the kinyan siddur at all. Really, that's just to show that it's serious. And therefore, he said you can overcome that by making the person declare on the phone, this is what he said, gamarti b'leiv shalem shani marshe l'harav sheyimchar es hachametz shali. The Rav Soloveitchik said you should say that I am agreeing b'leiv shalem that this is a serious kind of thing which accomplishes the same goal as a kinyan sitter would do as well. So that's something which is very relevant because it happens really almost every single year. When we talk about kinyanim in general, and this goes not only for mechiras chametz, it goes for all the different kinyanim transactions that we do throughout the year. So this is a important line that the Sefer HaChinuch writes, and it's a very striking line. The Sefer HaChinuch has a mitzvah Shin Lamed Zayin. Ein safek ki elu haknios kulan mitakaras chachamim hei. Sefer HaChinuch says, all the kinyanim that we are aware of are mitakaras chachamim hei. Ve'eviu haksuvim lismach behem divrayim. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, yeah, they're all midrabanan, but they just found an asmachta somewhere in a pasuk to explain where they came up with the idea from. V'ha'emes. Ki chachmasam hayikara ha'asidah lehigalos hayadam ha'isa remuza genuza betoch haksavim. So he says, don't think they're just making up stories. Obviously, they had good reason to be misakin, whatever they're misakin, and to institute all these different kinyanim, but end of the day, it's just a remez and a ptik, but that's not really midah araisa. V'afal pi she'ikra ksuvim eino ela al osan hasmachtos, no madusei mitochan, says the Sefer HaChinuch, all of them are just takanos midrabanan that are based off of psukim, but not really learned directly from the psukim themselves, which is a very surprising kind of statement, and the Minchas Chinuch immediately jumps on him and he says, how can one assume such a thing? We need kinyanim to be able to take care of problems midaraisa. Take for example, much of what we're going to discuss this evening is if you have a kinyan that only works midarabanan, but here you have a problem of bayura bayimatsa midaraisa, how could a kinyan midarabanan help you to get out of a problem midaraisa? Right? So if you're going to assume, like the Sefer HaChinuch, that all these are just takanas derabanan, how can you assume that this can help us at all to take care of our problem? Or you take, for example, if I want to buy a lulav and esrog, so how am I going to buy that if a kinyan is only midrabanan? I have to own the lulav and esrog, has to be shelachem, has to belong to me. How can it belong to me if there's no mechanism of getting it midaraisa? So it doesn't make any sense. This Sefer HaChinuch is a very problematic Sefer HaChinuch, and it's something just to think about, to be aware of, what exactly he means when he says that all these kinyanim are takanas midrabanan. Another very important introduction to kinyanim is, my father always quotes when he learned Baba Basra with us in Shir, when he learned Baba Metziah with us in Shir, he always quoted this Chazonish, and it's a very fundamental Chazonish about understanding what a kinyan accomplishes, what exactly happens when we do a halachic transaction. Says the Chazonish in the name of his father. Now I know nothing about the Chazonish's father, but this is one of the very rare cases where he quotes his father, and this became a very famous principle in the name of the father of the Chazonish. Is there a box of tissue somewhere here? Had a box of tissues, but it doesn't have any in here.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So the Chazonish here quotes something in the name of his father, and let's read it together. It says the Chazonish, you should understand the very fundamental principle when it comes to transactions that are halachic transactions. The Iker HaKinyan who? Sheyigmar belivo lahaknis hadavar lachaveira. The main part of the kinyan is not when I give you my hand, when I sign the shtar, not when I do the kinyan sidur. There are all these different kinds of things that we have mechanisms of transferring ownership. Says the Chazanis, the Iker HaKinyan who? Sheyigmar belivo lahaknis hadavar lachaveira. The main thing is, what am I thinking? Do I understand that there's a transfer of ownership going on here? That, said the father of the Chazanish, is what we're trying to accomplish, that a person has to have the right frame of mind and right understanding as to what exactly they are doing at the time of a halachic transaction. The chavero yismoch daito alav. And similarly, the one who is acquiring the item from you also has to have the same understanding as to what it is that's going on right now. The yesh dvarim shekim lehu lechazal shebediber ba'alma gomer b'libo lehakna chavero. There are certain things which it's good enough, you don't have to do a maisa kinyan, you don't have to do a transaction that's a physical transaction, just a gemiras das belivo is good enough, because they're not such serious ideas. And therefore we assume gemiras das is enough. However, ye she'eno gomer belivo, rak ayideh ha'kinyanim ha'mufurashim min ha'Torah omei chazal. The Chachamim came along and told us that there are some things that are very serious, and a person, unless they do some sort of activity, we're not going to know for sure that they're very serious about what they're about to do. Okay, so therefore he says that the bottom line is, keep reading a little, v'dok hekdevba, v'hafochba, v'hafochba, dekulaba, dok b'shas, v'poskim, v'timsakein, go through all of Shas, and you'll find that this is what kinyanim are all about, that you have to, it's a good challenge from the father of the Chazanish, go through all of Shas and figure out if it's true. But basically, the father of the Chazanish lays down the rule for us, and this is something Rav Yosef Engel and other Achronim highlight and point to the fact as well that the basic principle of all kinyanim is what the person's thinking in their mind. Do you understand that you're really transferring ownership to someone else, that this is a serious matter that's going on? And does the understanding of the other person that they are acquiring the item and that there's a transfer of ownership as well? So this is something which we need to keep in mind. Now, there are a couple of different mechanisms of kinyanim, of transactions, that we find when it comes to buying karka, transferring ownership of land, and certain kinyanim which apply when you transfer ownership of metaltalim, of something which is a tangible item, something which is a movable object. So we're not going to talk about karka tonight because we're not talking about selling karka, we're talking about selling chametz. Generally, your chametz is something that is a metaltalim. So what exactly are the different options that we have for selling, for transferring ownership of metaltalim to somebody else? And then we'll see whether or not we could use those for the mechiras chametz. So let's begin like this. The basic principle of when we try to transfer ownership of a movable, a tangible item, is you need to have hachnasa l'reshuso. What you're trying to accomplish when you make a kinyan on metaltalin is that it should go into the property of somebody else. Hachnasa l'reshuso shel chaveru. That's what we're trying to do when we make a kinyan on metaltalin. When you have a kinyan on karka, that's not what we're trying to accomplish. You're not putting it into someone else's property. The property stays where it is. The ownership changes. Over here, hachnasa l'reshuso means we're trying to get item A from this property into another property. So that's what the kinyanim ha-metaltalin are all about. So the first, most basic kinyan that we find is by hilchos geneva, imhi matzei ti matzei biyado ha-geneva, which means somebody runs out of my house, they're holding my silver candlestick. They're holding it in their hand. That means they stole it from me. Well, there, says the Gemara, they have to give it back to me because you are called a ganav. So that's what we call a kinyan yad. Holding it in your hand means it belongs to you. Okay? So that's kinyan number one, and this is the most basic, the most obvious kinyan. I want to give something to somebody else. If they're holding it in their hand, they pick it up, that's considered a good enough kinyan, that's called a kinyan yad. The second kinyan, which is kinyan chatzar. Now, we extend the person's yad. Basically, the greatest hachnasa l'reshuso, the greatest entry into somebody's reshus, is if they're holding it in their hand. There's no greater reshus than my own body. However, or if I'm holding it like this, I'm cuddling it, whatever it is, that's called a kinyan yad. What if we extend my yad and we said, now, not only is my property called something that's in my body, on my hand itself, but also a kinyan chatzer, which means we now extend, like the Gemara says by a get. It says, v'nasam biyada, you have to put the get into the hand of the woman. So what exactly does a hand mean? You have to put it into her hand? Says the Gemara in Gittin, no, it means even if you put it into her chatzer, you go into her courtyard, you go into her house, and you drop it down in the house, and then she goes and picks it up from there, that's also considered like like biyada, because chatzero is the chatzer, the courtyard, the house of a person is considered like an extension of the yad itself. Why? Because the basic principle of what we're trying to accomplish with kinyanim of metaltalin are that it should be hachnasa l'reshuso. So there's two ways of doing that. Number one is put it into my hand. Number two, you can put it into my chatzer, which is an extension of my hand. So that's basically what we find with regard to a kinyan chatzer. What's unique about a kinyan chatzer is that even though it's an extension of my hand, the Gemara tells us in Bav Metzia Daf Yud that even though the chatzeru shel adam could be konelo, we assume that it would even be able to be konesh shalomi daito. Meaning, if I'm holding something in my hands, the only time I assume it belongs to me is if I know what I'm doing, if I know what I'm holding. What if I'm sleeping and somebody puts something into my hand? That's not called that it belongs to me. Everybody knows that we just played a trick on you. But what if something ends up in my property and I have no idea, unbeknownst to me, there's some candlestick ends up there or something falls into my property and we assume that now it's within the confines of my area that belongs to me? Says the Gemara Bav Metzia Daf Yud, Chatzeru shel adam konelo afilu shelo midaito. Your chatzer, your property, can acquire ownership of an item even if you have no idea that it took place, that that transaction happened. So therefore we assume the chatzer has a very important power. The question is, can the chatzer even be kona bal karcho? Can it even be kona if I don't want? Let's say the woman says, I don't want to get divorced. So she clenches her fist and she says, I will not accept the get. She's being ma'agin the husband. Sometimes that happens. Most of the times you have the husband as ma'agin the wife. Once in a while you have the wife as ma'agin the husband. So here, the husband's ready to get divorced. He's ready to give the get. Woman says, I don't want to get divorced from you. So she closes her fist. You know what? It says, v'nasim biyada. There's no way you're going to get this into my hands. The husband says, oh, you know what? I'm going to go to your house, I'll drop it on the floor. But what do you mean? I don't want it. So when we say chatzeru shel adam konelo afilu shelo midaita, when we say that a person's chatzer can kone for him, even though he doesn't know about it, he or she doesn't know about it, What if it's bal karcho? What if I don't want it to be kona for me? I say explicitly, if you drop the get on the floor of my house, I don't want that my house should be considered like an extension of my yad. So that's a very important question. Also doesn't come up that often that a husband tries to drop a get in someone's house and then she doesn't want to accept it. So that's basically what? Okay. Yeah. All sorts of ways to get around what we need to do. Yeah? So you're saying, why do we need this at all? Uh-huh. That's an interesting question. If the whole point of a kinyan is that, like the Chazon Ish's father said, whole point of a kinyan is that the person should understand what's going on here, so how can you say there's an understanding if I don't even know? That's a very good question. It's a very good question. What? Zachon Adam Shalom Afanov. So what if it's a chov? Right, so what if it's a chov? Okay, good. It's a good question. It's a good question. So now, we have the greatest 2 degrees of hachnasa l'reshuso. How do I get something into my property, either by holding it in my hand, kinyan yad, or by the extension of my hand, which is called the kinyan chatzur. Those are the first two, and those are the best ways, the highest degrees of hachnasa l'reshuso. Now, lower down on the totem pole are the kinyanim of hagbah. What is the kinyan hagbah? So the Gemara says in Kiddushin that we have such a concept, picking something up. You pick something up, that's called a kinyan hagbah. Isn't that the same as a kinyan yad? Shouldn't that be the same as a kinyan yad? What's the difference between hagbah and a kinyan yad? If I pick it up, it means it's in my hand. So the answer is, the Rishonim explain what it means is, kinyan yad means if I have a watch, and the whole watch fits into my hand, so then everything that's in my hand is considered like it's mine. What if I have something like this, which is much bigger, and it doesn't all fit into my hand? So that's not a kinyan yad, because it's not all here. If I go like this, and the whole thing is on top of my hand, so then it belongs to me, with a kinyan yad. But what if I go like this, and the whole item doesn't fit into my hand? So what would you say? Is that considered to be a kinyan yad, or do you say, no, the whole item is not in your hand, so maybe only the middle belongs to you, or only nothing belongs to you, because if you don't own the whole thing, then it doesn't belong to you at all. So that's why we have a principle of a kinyan hagbah, that you pick something up. How far do you have to pick it up? Is it machlokas Rashi and Tosfos and Kiddushin? Dav chavav. Rashi says that it has to be picked up 3 tvachim off the ground. Tosfos says, no, tefach echad is good enough. There's a further machlokas that the Rishonim have, whether I have to pick it up myself, do I have to raise the item 3 tvachim, or is it good enough if it's raised on its own 3 tvachim, but it's because of me? Meaning, for example, let's say an elephant. Very good. So Tosa says the case of an elephant. How can I ever pick up an elephant? How can I do a kinyan hagbah on an elephant? I can't pick it up. It's impossible. I certainly can't pick it up 3 tvachim. So Tosa says I somehow get it to jump over a hump that's 3 tvachim. So you see that even though I didn't do it, but I caused the animal to do that, so that's considered to be a kinyan hagbah also because it went up 3 tvachim because of something that I made it to. So that's the third kind of kinyan that we find, which is also some sort of hachnasa l'reshus. So I pick it up, I show that it's mine. That would be on a lower level a little bit than yad and then chatzir. Yeah.
Why doesn't the Mishnah discuss yad? Why isn't it part of the Mishnah?
Kinyan yad.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the most basic, it's the most obvious.
It's not there. It's not there.
I don't know.
I don't really understand the whole kinyan yad that you really have a habamina that you pick up something and part that's outside of my hand doesn't belong. And going back to what Gavi said also in terms of what the Chazon Ish's father said,
Once it's there, it's there.
Yeah. I don't really get
it. I mean, so what's fascinating is that have you ever watched how they give a get? You ever experienced that? It's worth watching. This should never be a case. But basically, when we give a get to a woman, we're so chushish for all the different opinions, we fold up the get into a little piece of paper and we make sure that it fits into her hand like this. Which is very surprising because once you give it to her and she picks it up, so it's hers. No, we assume it's not good enough. And we make her pick up 3 tvachim. Maybe the kinyanad wasn't good enough. And we make them fold it up into a tiny little piece of paper in order that she should be able to fit the whole thing into the palm of her hand. So it's interesting, we are choshish for all these things, even though bottom line, we assume that it's all based on Gemara's das. But what the Chazon Ish's father means to tell us is not that we should disregard all of the kinyanim, all the mechanisms, all the techniques that the Chacham tell us to use. What he means is that a person should never forget that it's all about the Gemara's das that's in my head. It's not good enough just to have all the maisi, all the transactions with our hands going back and forth. That's not good enough. We need to have a Gemara's das belave. We have to understand exactly what it is that we're doing, and it's not good enough just to have all the different actions that are being performed. The next kinyan that we talk about. Okay, so that might be different. So that's the exception to the rule. But generally, when you have kinyanim, you have to have both sides understanding what's going on. Get might be different. Then the next kinyan that they talk about by Metalton is called the kinyan meshicha. Kinyan meshicha means I grab something, I drag it, and it comes along with me, that we assume would also be a kinyan. And finally, the last kinyan that we find by Metalton is, the last kinyan that we find is something called the kinyan mesira, which means, the Gemara says that they came up with this kinyan. Tosis is not sure, is this connected to any of the other ones? Is it separate, totally a kinyan of its own? But basically, they said there are certain items that I cannot do mashichan, I cannot do hagbaran, I can't pick them up, I can't put them in my hands, I can't get them into my chatzar, how am I going to be kona? Let's say I want to buy a horse. So what can I do? What can I do with a horse? I can't get it to jump, I can't get it to do anything. So the Gemara says, in a case like that, only to buy a behema, an item like that, or a car, what are you going to do? So we assume mesira is good enough. What does mesira mean? You give over the reins, you give over the key. We assume that's good enough to be considered a kinyan, even though there is no hachnasa l'reshuso, right? I'm not getting the item into my property at all. I now only am able to later on by holding on to the reins or by holding on to the key. So, even though I'm not being machnasit l'reshusi, still we assume that would be the next level of kinyan. There is a very important machlokas the Gemara has in Bava Metzia daf Mem Zayin between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. And this machlokas is, when we talk about all these different kinyanim that work by metaltalin, so far is everyone following? Are we okay? It's a complicated sugya about kinyanim, but I think it's a very important one to understand when we talk about mechiras chametz. So, machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish about min ha-Torah, what is the preferred kinyan? What works min ha-Torah? What works min ha-Rabbanan? We just set a list of five different kinyanim that one can use in order to acquire an item, to transfer ownership of metaltalin. Which one is considered min ha-Torah? Which one is considered midrabanan? So Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion, no. The only transaction that works on a level of daraisa is if I transfer the ownership of money. If I give you money and you accept the money, that's considered a transfer of ownership. Everything else, mashicha, hagbah, all these other things, that's only midrabanan. That was put in later on. And Reish Lakish says, what are you talking about? I believe that the kinyan min ha-Torah is mashicha and hagbah. Those are bona fide kinyanim midaraisa. Now, all the Rishonim are bothered. Where does Rabbi Yochanan get his idea from? Where does Reish Lakish get his idea from? What's the basis of this machlokas? You think that the only way to be kona is with kesef? You think the only way to be kona is with hagbah meshicha? What are they arguing about? So the Rishonim say, most of the Rishonim explain, Rabbi Yochanan thinks it's mistaber, it's a svara, that kinyan kesef makes the most sense. After all, that's the way everyone makes transactions in every other area of life. We give money, we get an item. We don't give money, we don't acquire the item. That's the way we all go about our daily routine. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that since this is the normal way that we do things, so therefore it's a svara. It makes sense that this is what the Torah meant when it said, if you want to buy something, this is how you should do it. If you want to acquire ownership of something, this is the only way to do it, if you use kesef, if you use money, because that's the way we would normally do it. And the Ran points out from that Gemara that you see, from the fact that Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are arguing misvara, what makes the most sense? And what would the Torah have meant when it said that you can have an ability to transfer ownership from one to the other? And Rabbi Yochanan thinks it's more mistaber to say kesef, and Reish Lakish thinks it's more mistaber to say hagba meshicha, says the Ran, what you see from here is that svara, logic, plays a role on a level of daraisa, which is a fascinating concept. We think we're working with a system where there are rules, and the rules are the rules, and that's it. But no. The Ran points out, what you see from here is, the Chachamim, who have an instinctive understanding of what the Torah really means, and they come up with the Svar and they say, this must be what the Torah meant, that now takes on a level of Daraisa. That's what the Ran points out, which is a very important concept that the Ran gleans from this very Gemara. There's a lot more to talk about. The Biskurov has a discussion about this very point as well. It's not really relevant to our discussion tonight, but how much of a role does svara play in halacha? Let's say the Gemara sometimes will say, Lama likra svarahu? Why do you have to bring a pasuk to prove the point that you're making? Svarahu? What do you mean svarahu? What do I care what you think? If you prove me from a pasuk, from a source, good, I'll listen to it. You don't prove from a source, I don't care what you think. I think differently. The answer is, what you see from the Gemara is, a svara is just as good of a conclusive proof as a pasuk itself. That's what the Biskurov writes. Makes a lot of sense, right? Otherwise, how do you understand the Gemara's question? Lamali kras svarahu. Why do I need a pasuk to prove this? It's a svara. What do I care about your svara? Answer is that a svara does hold a lot of weight. This is, I think, a... What? That's what even the Gemara, the Brisker Rav, points out. No, the Gemara asks sometimes, Lamali kra, why do I need a pasuk svaru? The pasuk didn't have to go out of its way, it's obvious. It's a very interesting chiddush. A very interesting chiddush. What?
Does everybody agree with that?
Look, you have to agree with the fact that the Gemara says that. How do you understand it? That's a problem. How do we understand it? If you don't believe that svar is a din daraisa. What?
We never argue on gzeiras hakasuk, do we?
We're not arguing on gzeiras hakasuk. Right. The point should be taken the opposite. The same way you would never argue on a Gzeres HaKasiv, you should never argue on a Svar of Chazal.
No, the Svar could always be discussed. People have different Svars.
Okay, but you see that it has relevance on a Din D'Oraisa. That's the Chiddush. Again, it's a Chiddush. That's what the Ran points out. That's what other Achronim talk about as well. But it's an important Chiddush to be aware of. So over here, we have our Gemara that tells us that we have a disagreement between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. What is the kinyan on the level of Araisa when you're trying to transfer ownership of Metaltalin? Is it only with Kesef, or is it with Mashicha or Hagba? What is the primary kinyan mid Araisa, and what's considered mid Rabbanan? This turns out to be a big machlokas. In Shulchan Aruch, in Choshen Mishpat Kuf Tzadiches, they paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, that Dvar Torah Mos Konos, only money is able to do a transfer of ownership mid Araisa, and mid Rabbanan, the transfer of ownership can be done with Hagba Mashicha as well. So that's the Psak in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch then goes a step further and says, well, that might be the Ikar Adin, but Midrabanan, they told us that you should never use money for the kinyan itself. Why not? Why? What? Shema Yisuf Ulo Chitin. So what does that mean? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes what the Gemara has a concern. If you assume that the transfer of ownership is going to happen right away when you hand over the money, when you hand over the check, the Gemara is concerned with the following. So what happens in a case like this? I own a store. I have a lot of merchandise. Somebody gives me an item, somebody gives me money, we assume the second he gives me the money, it's already considered his, and the money is considered mine. The transaction has already happened, even if I didn't yet hand over the item. The item is right here on the counter. Now, all of a sudden, a fire breaks out, and the basket that's in question, we're not sure who it belongs to now, the basket burns on fire. So, the Gemara says, let's be honest. If I know that the transaction already took place, when I took that money, and you haven't yet picked up your basket, I know that it no longer is my responsibility. I got my money for it, it now belongs to you, it's your problem. I'm not going to try so hard to save that item. Says the Gemara, because we have a concern that you as the mocher, as the salesman, is not going to try so hard to save the item from being destroyed if something were to happen, therefore we said, you know what? Don't ever assume that you already have transferred ownership just by giving the money alone. That's what we're told, that's the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins, which is a very surprising kind of statement. I did see in the Sholem Eshev, he writes something which is brilliant. He says, well, if this is the true, that the reason why Mos are not Kona, the reason why money doesn't work is because we're concerned that maybe something is going to burn along the way and then you're not going to try your hardest to save it. So he says, what about a case where you're trying, let's say I sell Talis and Tefillin. Let's say I sell Svarim. So you give me the money and now the Svarim belong to you. If a fire breaks out, I'm going to care about the Svarim the same way you're going to care about the Svarim. It doesn't matter if it belongs to me, it belongs to you. I don't want my Sifrei Torah to be burned. It doesn't matter who they belong to. Says the Sholem Eshev, maybe if you're selling Sifrei Torah, you're selling Tefillin, you're selling Svarim, we go back to the original Din D'Oraisa, that Mos Konos, because we don't have this concern. My father thought that was totally insane, ridiculous Svara, but it was. I think it was worth mentioning anyway. It's the Sholem Eshev is brilliant. He was amazing. So that was the Chiddush of the Sholem Eshev. Anyway, so we have this idea of which kinyan is going to work. And it's a major problem because, let's say, I want to buy my dalad minim for sukkahs. How am I going to buy dalad minim if money really is not supposed to be used? So how can I be kona? If you hold, again, I'm sorry, let's back up. We had a machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. What's the primary way, midaraisa, to buy something which is metaltalim, to transfer ownership? So one of them says hagbal mashicha, one of them says you could do it with kesef. So if I just give money to the person who's selling the linesring and they drop it off in my house, so how am I going to be kona? If we hold, let's say we would hold like Reish Lakish, that the only way to be kona metaltalin mid daraisa is hagbal mashicha. So how am I going to be kona? How does it work? How does it work? So the Stechemet says, what is everyone giving big complicated Torahs to figure out? Oh, it is kona, it's not kona, maybe exception to the rule, not exception to the rule. What do you mean? Bottom line, he drops it off in my house. We're not talking about somebody who's homeless. We're talking about somebody who has a house. So bottom line, even if all else fails, he put it into my house, he put it into my chatzer. Chatzer shaladim konalo. When the first day of Sukkot comes, bottom line, it belongs to me. Doesn't matter how, doesn't matter how it got there. Bottom line, it's in my house, it's in my property, in my rishus. We consider it to be mine. So there's no problem about, you know, some people are worried. You paid with a check, you paid with this, you know, they're not going to cash a check till after. People are careful to pay with cash. Why are you concerned? The Stechemen says nothing to be concerned about. As long as now it's in your chutz. So there was a gemiras das that we should transfer ownership. He wanted to sell to me, I wanted to buy it from him. So as long as it's now in my chutzar, I pick it up on Shabbat, on Yom Tov to go and do my and perform my mitzvah, we assume that would be good enough. Okay? Yeah.
Are they concerned with the kinyan of the Raisa of the Rabbanan?
Yeah.
So,
well, chutzar is certainly a kinyan deraisa.
But wasn't there anything else, one of the Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan, that was one of theirs, the chutzar was?
No, chutzar is undeniably a kinyan deraisa, oh, because okay. by get we find if you put it into the chutzar, it's right. Kone. So that for sure is not a question.
Okay.
I'm sorry, the question is Kesef the best way to go, or is Hagbal Mashicha? It's a question between those three. Chatzar is out of the question. So the Snechemet says, what's everyone going so crazy about that? And the bottom of the bottom line, if it ends up in your chatzar, it's good enough. Yeah?
If you give money for the kinyan, are we delaying the kinyan, saying it's not an actual kinyan?
We're delaying and saying it doesn't work.
We're saying it works, but really you shouldn't use money.
It doesn't work until you do Hagbal Mashicha. Obviously you have to pay for the item, but we assume that that's not going to facilitate the kinyan.
That's interesting. So the Rabbanan is really delaying the
Daraisa. Correct. Hagbal Mashicha kicks in a second later or a minute later when you actually hand over the item to the other person. It's correct what you're saying. So now, this was all the background to try to understand what happens by Mechiras Chametz. So you would say, well, we have all these options and Chatzar and Yad and all these different things, right? So what's the problem? Problem is, there's a major problem. Problem is that the Gemara makes a lot of trouble for us because the Gemara says in Mechiras Daf Yud Gimel, we have a din d'araisa which says there is a way to make a transaction with another Jew. When you're doing business with each other, this is the way to do it. And you have Yad, you have Hagbah, you have Mashicha, you have Mesira, all these different things. However, the Gemara says, from the fact that the Pasuk says, Okana miyad amisecha, we learn that all of these kinyanim only work between two Jews who are making a transaction. But if you're doing a transaction between a Jew and a non-Jew, so then any kinyan that would work for a Jew would not work between a Jew and a non-Jew. You have to come up with something else. Wow. So basically everything we just discussed cannot be used when we're trying to sell the chametz to the non-Jew. So this is very difficult. How do we come up with a new way of transferring ownership that's not included in anything we spoke about?
Not just with chametz, with everything.
With everything. The Gemara's not talking about selling chametz. The Gemara's talking about with business. So we'll get to that. So listen, so we make six kinyanim. So number one, back to the machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. This is now a very relevant machlokas. What is the best way to transfer ownership? Is it with kesef, or is it with Mashiach and Hagbah? Well, that makes a major difference. Are we able to do a kinyan with a non-Jew, with kesef, or with Mashiach and Hagbah? So if midaraisa you hold that that's the way to transfer ownership with another Jew, then you would disqualify that for transferring ownership with a non-Jew. Okay, so if you hold like Reish Lakish that the best way, the only way to transfer ownership midaraisa with another Jew is with Mashiach and Hagbah, that means it's not going to work for transferring ownership with a non-Jew. If you hold like Rabbi Yochanan that transferring ownership is best done midaraisa with kesef, then that's disqualified from your transaction with the non-Jew, but Mashiach and Hagbah are now an option. So the first kinyan we make when it comes to the Mechiras Chametz is, since that's a machlokas harishonim, we're not sure who to paskin like Rabbi Yochanan or Reish Lakish. The Shulchan Aruch does paskin for us, but we are choshish for the other rishonim. Many gedolei harishonim held like the other tzad. So therefore, the first thing we do is we make a kinyan mashicha with a non-Jew. Make a kinyan mashicha with a non-Jew. And that's the first kinyan that we make. The question is, how can we do a mashicha? He comes to my house, he starts pulling all the chametz off the shelves, right? He doesn't do that. Kinyan mashicha means he takes it, right? Again, the basic premise is, because chametz is considered such an avera chamura, such a iser chamur, it's called an iser kares, so therefore we would assume that we're going to try to cover our grounds, try to cover our bases as much as possible, and therefore we're going to try to satisfy all the opinions that we can, and that's why we make so many kinyanim when it comes to mechiras chametz. Now we start to begin to understand why the rabbi is the one who's charged with the mechiras chametz, and not every one of us, because this is not simple to understand which kinyanim among two Jews. Is it kinyan kesef or is it a kinyan mashicha?
You still have to do it mashicha.
What?
The question.
So where's the Mashiach practically, you're saying? Where's the Mashiach? We do as a Kinyan Kesef in order to satisfy the other opinions because it's a Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. The third thing we do is a Kinyan Shtar. Kinyan Shtar, what does that mean? The Gemara says in Kiddushin, Daf Chav Vav Amid Aleph, look at number Dalid, Nechasem Sheyesh Lahem Achrayis, Niknim B'Kesef U'Vishtar U'Vichazaka. Which means, when you have a transaction of land, of karka, that's Nechasem Sheyesh Lahem Achrayis, we assume that can be transferred ownership with Kesef, Shtar, or a Chazaka. So, what you see clearly from the Gemara is, the only time you can actually acquire ownership of something with a Shtar is when it's karka, when it's land. But when it's metaltalim, when it's a movable item, we assume, right, a mashicha would help, but a shtar would not help. So over here, we do a kinyan shtar. So the question is, how do you do a kinyan shtar if we're not talking about selling property? We're talking about selling chametz.
Well, then you're getting around the problem on the sefer, because that's not what you use on the sefer.
Okay, correct. But that's the question over here. How are you able to do that if we're not really buying karka here? We're not up to renting place yet. Everything's random, that you do whatever you want and it doesn't follow rules. The rules are, the only time the Torah says that a kinyan shtar is able to work is when you're selling something that's karka. When you're selling something that's metaltalin, however, a kinyan shtar will not work, will not be able to take effect. So over here, what good does it do for us to sign a shtar? We're not selling the house. We're selling, that's a big mistake people make. I'm not selling my house to the non-Jew. If I do that, then I have to put up new mezuzahs afterward. Right?
Mm-hmm.
No, but it doesn't mean that the rules change. It doesn't mean you can make up a new rule and say that...
The kinyan exists. The question yeah. Where you apply the kinyan.
Yeah.
Why can't you apply that kinyan, which we accept la halacha, that the kinyan shtar works? Why can't we apply it then?
Because the Gemara assumes the kinyan shtar won't be able to perform a transaction on something that is movable. We're not up to Dina Malchus Adina yet. We'll get there. Right. Leave Dina Malchus Adina out. We're talking about strict halachic parameters. So why do we sign a shtar? What good is that going to do us? Right now, all we're trying to transfer ownership of is something which is a metaltalin. So a shtar doesn't help for metaltalin. Shtar only helps for karka. The answer is that we write that in order to enforce the kinyan kesef that we just did. We write that to enforce the kinyan kesef that we already did. Because the Gemara says in Kiddushin Av Chavav that there are some communities where every time they do a kinyan kesef, they always write a shtar afterward. By us, it's the same thing. When we make a serious business deal, we don't just do a transfer of something. We write it down, we make sure it's documented, and that's exactly the point. That's why we do a kinyan shtar, the mechiras chametz, to make sure everybody understands this is a real kinyan, this is something serious, and this is not a joke. That's the way Reb Zevin explains also why we have the kinyan shtar. Then the next kinyan we make with the non-Jew is, well, because the kinyan kesef might not have worked, because you might paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, you might paskin like Reish Lakish, therefore the Mashiach and Agba might not work. So the first two that we did already might not help. The kinyan shtar doesn't really help anything because kinyan shtar only helps for karka. Here we're not selling karka, we're selling metaltalin. So all three of those so far are very questionable, might be out the window. So we got to start all over. So therefore we go to a kinyan agav. What does a kinyan agav mean? Kinyan agav means that if you own, you're buying a piece of land, you can also buy something along with the land as well. So we sell the nachri a little bit of our land. Now, what does it mean you sell him our land? What do you mean? I don't want to give him my house. So the rabbi can give him a part of his house. And while he's selling the house, he can also sell him other things. Even though the rabbi's house doesn't have all of my chametz in it, the halacha is, the Gemara tells us clearly that when you make a kinyan agav, even if the items are not sivurim umenachim, even if the items are not on top of that piece of land that you sold, but since you're already selling him land, so now he's able to buy other things as well. So that's the third kinyan that we make, is a kinyan agav. The rabbi sells a little part of his property to the non-Jew. Now, along with the property that the non-Jew buys, he goes out and he's buying all the chametz from the whole community, from the whole Woodmere altogether. That's basically the next kinyan. New sounds good. Why do we need anything else? So far, so good. So forget about everything we've had till now, which was all questionable. Kinyan agav should be fine. No? Problem is, no. The Ktos HaChoshen writes that there are some Rishonim, the Balei HaTosis write in Maseches Baba Kama, that kinyan agav only works midrabbanan. So Kinyan Agav only helps to transfer ownership midrabbanan, but on a level of deraisa, Kinyan Agav won't do anything. Here we're trying to get around the problem of chametz, and the only way to get around the problem of chametz is if you do a transaction that actually works midaraisa. So therefore, the Ktos HaChoshen just disqualified the idea of Kinyan Agav because that will only take care of the problem of midrabbanan. So we're back to square one. And second of all, the Tumim says that when you talk about a Kinyan Agav, well, a Kinyan Agav only works for a Jew to a Jew, but a Jew to a non-Jew, a Kinyan Agav won't help. So we have two problems. You have number one, the Kinyan Kesa that we did might not work. The Kinyan Mashiach that we did might not work, because that's a Tali in the Machlokes of Yochanan Reish Lakish. Then we talk about maybe a Kinyan Shtar, but the Kinyan Shtar doesn't do anything, because we're not selling property, we're only selling Metatalin. Then we go to the next Kinyan Agav, which also might not help, because Kinyan Agav might only be Midrabanan, and Kinyan Agav might not help to transfer ownership between a Jew and a non-Jew. So we're stuck back to square one again. Now, Aruch HaShulchan writes, well, the next thing we're going to try is to do a Kinyan Chatzer. What does it mean in Kinyan Chatzer? We're going to give the guy somehow a Kinyan Chatzer here, and that's the best way that we can sell him our chametz, because everybody knows that Kinyan Chatzer is Kona Midaraisa. With that we learn from a get. There's nothing to talk about that. There's nothing wrong with that. So what can possibly be wrong? You do a Kinyan Chatzer with a non-Jew. Put everything into his reshus, and now it all belongs to him. What can be bad about that? He put it into his knapsack, into his bag. It all belongs to him. What's the problem? Problem is, Ktos HaChoshen starts up again, and he says, well, we have a sefer called the Birchas HaZevach, which is written by Rav Shmuel Kardenover, and he writes that there's no such thing as a Kinyan Chatzer with a non-Jew. Kinyan Chatzer is only a Chiddush that was said by a Jew, but not some biyada, it's only by a get. Doesn't say other things, doesn't say it by other transactions that we do with a non-Jew. So now he says, Kinyan Chatzer is going to be out the window. So you say, well, you found the Ktos HaChoshen that proves from a sefer Birchas HaZevach that a Kinyan Chatzer doesn't work. We don't have to listen to him. The answer is, imagine you get up to Shamayim, after 120, God asks you, why do you have chametz in your house over Pesach? You say, what do you mean I have chametz in my house? I sold it with a Kinyan Chatzer. He's going to say, what do you mean? But we paskin like the Ktos HaChoshen from the Birchas HaZevach. I don't want to take that chance. And therefore, we assume that the Kinyan Chatzer is not going to be good enough, Kinyan Agav is not good enough, Kinyan Shtar is not good enough, Kinyan Mashiach is not good enough, and Kinyan Kesef is also not good enough, so we go to a Kinyan Siddur. Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. How did he do it? I don't know. So let's see. So he does, the next thing we do is a Kinyan Siddur. Now what exactly is a Kinyan Siddur? So we have, the Pasuk says in Megillas Rus, that's number Hey, that there is an institution of a Kinyan Siddur, which means that the person who's purchasing has to give an item which is Shalosh al Shalosh, it's a certain size, you have to give it to the other person, and that's the way we transfer ownership. Not that I give him the box of cookies and that's the transfer of ownership, no. Kinyan Siddur means I give him an item that belongs to me, right? We make a Kinyan, basically, that shows that we're serious. That's what the Rambam said before, that a Kinyan Siddur is to show that we have a real Gemiras Daos, that we're serious about what we're doing. So what can you have wrong with that? What's wrong with a Kinyan Siddur? Sounds like a great idea. Look at the Nodi Yehuda number Vav. Yehuda has in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch and the Dagal Mervav. Do we have a minion here that didn't daven yet? No? I'm the only one? And you? Okay. Yes, you should go. Okay. I'm going to daven in Yeshiva at 10:30. Okay, so the Nodi Yehuda writes as follows. Ladati, in my opinion, Hayoser Muvcha Shebedarke HaKinyin Sheikna HaChametz L'Nachri B'Kinyin Siddur. Says the Nodi Yehuda, what can you possibly have wrong with a Kinyin Siddur? It's great. We finally solved the problem. Kinyin Siddur is going to work. Who's going to give us a problem with that? All the other Kinyanim are out the window. Everything's questionable. They all have Pikpukim. They all have Machlokas. We don't want to get involved in the Machlokas by Chametz. Kinyin Siddur is a great idea. However, he writes in the end, Uma Ese, is this on here? Uma Ese, look at the last line. V'hashach b'chol shemishpatzim and kufchav gimel sifkat lamed kiha b'davar. So Nadi Yehuda says, Kinyan Siddur should have been a great idea. But for some reason, the Shach doesn't like it. So what's the Shach? Look at the Shach over here. That's the next entry, says the Shach. V'gam gavi b'chor ha'richu kal ha'poskim limsa heter l'haknos ha'behema l'akum v'shim de mesvekelu, whatever. So he says, the Gemara tries to figure out how can we transfer ownership with a non-Jew. What are we going to do? Skip down a line. Vim Isa. You have it? Last line on the page. Vim Isa, if you're going to say that a Kinyan Siddur really works, use a Kinyan Siddur. Do a transfer of ownership with giving him an eye, giving him a handkerchief. That should be good enough. Why does the Gemara stand on its head to figure out how are we going to sell something to a non-Jew? Easy. Say it's a Kinyan Siddur. Says the Shach, and by chametz the same applies. all the poskim, as we were talking about tonight, it's not so simple to figure out how to sell your chametz. So everyone's having a difficult time figuring out how do we sell, how do we not sell, which kananim are we going to use. V'chala achronim lasas behetar lahaknas lo hechad lo afshar b'meshicha v'misa l'kninu ni'alei b'chalipim. Why is everyone having such an issue? Why don't we just do with a kinyan suder? So the shach says, therefore, it must be, I don't know why, but it must be that a kinyan suder doesn't work. So here we go. So you have the shach disqualifies the kinyan suder. The ksos achoshen disqualifies the kinyan chatzer. You have the ksos also disqualifies the kinyan agav. Then you have the kinyan suder and the kinyan, I'm sorry, the kinyan meshicha and the kinyan hagbah. And the kinyan kesev is the machlokes of Yochanan Rish Lakish. That's the machlokes of the machaber. So what do? So the bottom line is we come down to what you said, and that is the kinyan situmta. Kinyan situmta means basically dina de machusa dina, which means basically what we consider to be a normal mode of transaction of transfer of ownership in any other business area would also be considered acceptable in the area of halacha as well, which is a very important halacha in many different contexts, because dina de machusa dina is something that very often, unfortunately, religious Jews aren't so careful about. We say, oh, it's the law, it's not the halacha. The answer is no. The law is also the halacha. We have to make sure that we keep not only to the dini ha-Torah, but also to the law. We're asked to pay taxes. We can't say, oh, well, that's not a law in the Torah, so we don't have to pay. We have to pay because we're abiding citizens. Dina machusa dina is that we have to follow the law of the land. So we have a Gemara Bab Metzia Ayin Dalet. We're not going to get into it now, but you can read it on your own, where the Gemara tells us that kinyan situmta works, and a kinyan situmta would be something that is considered a real kinyan. The Rishonim explain over there, what is a kinyan situmta? They say it's something that is done kiminak ha-sochrim. This is the way normal people who do business in many other areas of life, this is the way they go about doing their business. And therefore we assume that a kinyan situmta would also be done in order that we make sure that the chametz is really sold. The problem with that is that the achronim have a disagreement as to whether or not a kinyan situmta is a kinyan midaraisa, or is it only a kinyan midarabanan. So now, you put all this together, we have a major, major problem. That each one of the kinyanim that we do with the guy is considered to be very questionable. It's considered to be very questionable. And therefore, we assume that this is why we do six kinyanim, because we're doing all of them on the hope that at least one of them, God is going to paskin like one of them somewhere along the way, and he's going to discredit somebody who has discredited one of the kinyanim that we do. So we do six kinyanim, and in the end of the day, each one of the kinyanim has a problem. Each one of the kinyanim is contentious. Each one of the kinyanim, we assume, has someone who feels that it's not good enough. And therefore, we assume that if we do six of them, we'll at least be safe, because somewhere along the way, there's somebody who's going to have to hold that somebody is wrong. And therefore, we hope that we covered our bases, we covered our grounds. There is a video, you sent me an email this week. Yeah. There is a video that Rabbi Willig has. Rabbi Willig goes through all the six kinyanim, and he's very careful every year to sell his chametz with a businessman, with a non-Jew who understands business, who really knows what he's doing. His name is John Brown, Zachar Latov, he's a great man. And basically, he's been buying all the chametz for many, many Jews in America for many, many years, because a lot of Rabbanim go bring their shtaris to Rabbi Willig to do for them. It's a big party. Erev Pesach by Rabbi Willig's house is a big party. All the rabbis come together. It's very nice, but basically, he made a video. I have to get my hands on it. If anyone's interested, I'm happy to send it to you. He made a video which might make it clearer for everything we discussed tonight. You'll see there, he describes everything and all the kinyanim, how it works, how it doesn't work. Happy to send out that email at anyone's convenience if you're interested in that.